is the Lord. Let his peace and mercy reign over us. Mighty is the Lamb. Let the roar of the lion sound from above. He's the first and last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's our God. Bread of life, sustain us. Living water, quench our thirst. Rock of our salvation, let your voice through us be heard. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess you are the Lord. Righteous is the King. Jesus laid down his life for you and me. Worthy is the Son. He defeated the grave, and the battle is won. He's the first and last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's our God. Bread of life, sustain us. Living water, quench our thirst. Rock of our salvation, let your voice through us be heard. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess you are the Lord. Bread of life, sustain us. Living water, quench our thirst. Rock of our salvation, let your voice through us be heard. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess you are the Lord. He's the first and last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's our God.
Amen, and good morning, church family. It's good to see all of you here this morning. Hopefully you've had enough rain over the last week to get you a little further down the road. The one thing you don't ever want to stop around here is rain, amen? And so it's kind of slowed us down in the building program a little bit, but that's okay because you don't ever want to stop rain. I want to welcome each of you here today, especially if you're a guest with us. There's a place in the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." If you'll take a moment and just fill that out, tear it off, and put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you came in, that lets us know who was here worshiping with us today. And today we're going to dive into Acts chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the day of Pentecost. Amen? And so before we do that, and before we continue this morning, let's take a moment and get our hearts and our minds focused on worshiping God. Worshiping God is when you and I let him be God. So for 1 hour, take whatever's going on in your life, the good, the bad, the busy, the ugly, whatever it may be, the hurtful, the painful, whatever it may be, and as we pray, lay it at his feet and say, "Dear Jesus, for this next hour, I just want you to be God. I'm going to quit playing God, and for the next hour, I'm just going to worship you. I'm going to quit trying to control things, and for the next hour, I'm going to let you be in control as I worship you, as I love you, as I praise you, and as I bring glory to your name." And we pray that this service is not about us, amen? This service is about who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to take our minds off of ourselves and put our minds on you. And Lord, help us to focus our hearts on loving you. And as we sing these words, that we don't just sing words from songs that we've known forever, but we sing from the bottom of our hearts, because that's what true worship is all about, when it comes from the heart. And so, Lord, today, as we get in your word, we pray that you just guide us and help us to learn and understand the things you want us to learn and understand about the day of Pentecost. And we pray that as we continue singing in a moment, that we would lift every word up to you as a praise offering to you. And the ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose of this worship service this morning is to honor you and to love on you and to bring glory to you. And we thank you and we praise you for the amazing love and grace and forgiveness and mercy that you've shown each of us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that you continue to show us each and every day. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music in, and though the storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I'm loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my in the darkest night, for I know my Savior is, and I will walk with him, knowing you see me through, and sing the songs you give. How can I keep from seeing praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I'm loved by the King, and it makes my heart wanna sing. I can sing troubled times, sing when I win. I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing 'cause you pick me up, sing 'cause you're there. I can sing 'cause you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath, sing for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I'm loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I'm loved by the King, and it makes my heart. I am loved Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me. Within joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the we thank you that you are a God who desires a relationship with us. You are not some cruel God to whom we must satisfy a list of do's and don'ts. You've given us the law to show us how imperfect we are and that we are incapable of following it. But your Son, Jesus Christ, followed it perfectly for us. And he paid the penalty for us. So we thank you that we can walk with you, Father. You desire that relationship. Just as you walked with Adam in the garden, you long to walk with us. And so, Father, I pray that we do walk with you this week, and let it start here this morning by being attentive to your word, having open hearts so that you can show us where we need to apply these words in our lives and live it out this week, Father. Let us be doers of the word, not hearers only. God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for all the rain that you've given us. We know you'll work out schedules. So we thank you for the blessings. God, we thank you for this church family, and I pray that you continue to work amongst us and let us always be about building your kingdom and not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2 this morning, talking about the day of Pentecost. I'll give you a moment to turn over there in your Bibles. I think that all the other scriptures I'm going to, well, maybe not all. Sometimes I refer to stuff that I don't get in your notes. So maybe they're maybe not all in there. And then sometimes even after I've already printed these notes, I add stuff. So hopefully you'll get most of what I'm going to be talking about in your notes this morning. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. You remember Jesus told them what to do. I want you to go here, and I want you to stay together, and I want you to wait, and I want you to pray, right? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation. So all of these devout Jews from every nation under heaven, the Bible says, had gathered in Jerusalem for the festival of weeks that began with Pentecost. Okay? So there's all these Jews, the Bible says, from every nation under heaven gathered in Jerusalem. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Now, the word Pentecost actually comes from a Greek word that means 50th. And so Pentecost was the beginning of a Jewish holiday called the Festival of Weeks, also known as Shavuot. And it began 50 days after Passover. And so Jerusalem would have been full of devout Jews from all over, men from every nation, in anticipation of this week-long celebration. And both John the Baptist and Jesus had prepared the disciples for what was coming at Pentecost. In fact, John told them in Luke 3:16 in your notes, John answered and said to them, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one who is coming, Jesus, who is mightier than I, and I'm not even fit to untie the thong of his sandals, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And Jesus himself had repeatedly told them about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he said in John 15, in your notes, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from my Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father." Now, this is super important to get right here. This is the whole purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit right here. "He will testify about me, and you will testify also about me." That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. "He will testify about me, and you will testify also about me." But we need to remember something else that's crucial to this experience. Remember in Acts 1:14, the Bible says that these, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. And Dr. Tony Evans, in his commentary, makes an important point for us to remember, and it's actually number one in your notes this morning. An important emphasis is made on connecting unity and obedience in order to experience the presence, power, and influence of the work of the Holy Spirit. An important emphasis is made on connecting unity. They were all of one mind. Obedience, they were staying where they were supposed to stay. They were waiting for when they, as long as they needed to wait, and they were continually in prayer, right? So there's this connection between unity and obedience in order to, listen to this, in order for you to experience the presence, the power, and the influence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because God's presence is not found in disunity. God's presence is found in unity. God's presence, God's power, God's influence is not found in disobedience. It's found in obedience. So if you and I want to experience the power, the presence, and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we need to be unified, and we need to be driven to obey God's word. Like Matt said in his prayer, we need to be driven to obey the word of God. We need to set our plans aside and repent. God, forgive me for playing God. Forgive me for having my own plan. And now I'm going to turn back to you. And I'm going to follow your word. And again, the word of God is the what of God? The will of God. Amen? How do you know the will of God? You read the word of God. Because the word of God is the will of God. Amen? And so these two things must connect if you and I are going to experience the presence, the power, and the influence of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In fact, these same two things would create the witness and show the world that Jesus Christ was the Savior, John chapter 17. The disciples had to be unified and in obedience to Christ's instructions in order for them to experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so it's important to remember that the main purpose of Pentecost was to send the Holy Spirit to empower these scared, purposeless, lacking direction group of disciples so that they would be a witness for Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, to every nation under heaven. And so the disciples had to be unified. They had to be in obedience to Christ's instructions in order for them to experience the Holy Spirit, or they would have missed it. And so it's important to remember the main purpose, again, of Pentecost was to send the Holy Spirit to empower the disciples to be witnesses for Jesus Christ to the rest of the known world. Look at what Jesus said to them in Acts 1, verse 8 in your notes. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth, he says. And so after this filling of the Holy Spirit at this event, and it would forever be known by after this as the day of Pentecost. And this day of Pentecost would become one of the top four most important events in the purpose of God's redemptive plan for mankind. Point number two. Number one, Dr. Evans reminds us an important emphasis is made on connecting unity and obedience in order to experience the presence, the power, and the influence of the work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Pentecost became the birth date of Christ's new covenant church. It became the birth date, if you will, of his New Testament people. It became the birth date, if you will, of his new temple. Amen? And this was a date that the church was created by God. A lot of people think man created the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. God created the church on the day of Pentecost, and the church was and is God's new covenant people. And the church was and is, still is, God's chosen strategy for reaching the nations with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ. Isn't that crazy? That God chose to use you and I. He chose to use the weak for people to see his strength and for people to see his might and to see his glory. So on the 50th day after Passover, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples and empowered them in a dramatic way. And through the redemption that came through Christ and the creation of this new covenant church, God would fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. Look back at verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And so the sound of this violent rushing wind caught everyone's attention, verse 6. To the point that they all came running to see what was going on, to see what was happening, because they were hearing this roaring sound plus their own native language being spoken. Can you imagine? You know what I imagine when I read this? When I was reading through this, of course, I read it over and over and over again before I get here on Sunday, right? But you know what I was imagining? I was imagining standing there and all of a sudden the sound of this speeding locomotive just rushing by me out of nowhere. And how that would just like kind of freak me out. It would surprise me, right? And if that wasn't enough to get your attention, then all of a sudden you witness tongues or flames of fire landing on each believer. And just like the sound of the wind, the fire immediately just like the sound of the wind, the fire immediately reminded all of these Jews from all over the known world about the presence of Almighty God. Point number three. Number one, Dr. Evans reminds us an important emphasis is made in connecting unity and obedience in order to experience the presence and power and influence and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number two, Pentecost became the birth date of Christ's new covenant church, his New Testament people. Number three, the fire of God always appeared when God wanted his presence to be known to his people, to be revealed to his people. You read that all through the Bible. This fire would also become known as the Shekinah, or the fiery glow of God's presence. And you may remember God revealing himself to his people in Exodus chapter 3 through a bush that burst into flames and yet never burned up in the wilderness. You may remember the Lord and how he led his people by a pillar of fire at night through the wilderness, Exodus 13. You may remember when the Shekinah glory of God covered Mount Sinai in Exodus 19. And John the Baptist even alluded to the fiery presence of the Lord when he mentioned the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John said in Matthew 3:11, "And as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And we could go on with more examples, but the point is, any devout Jew would recognize this fire as the presence of God and the work of God. Look back at verse 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." Point number 4. The disciples received power from the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being a witness for Christ. This is absolutely critical to understand in this passage. Point number 4. The disciples received power from the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being a witness for Jesus Christ. Again, listen to Christ's words in Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." And then back to Acts 2:4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak to one another in tongues as the Holy Spirit was giving them utterance." Now, the phrase, and don't miss this, this is important to remember and understand. The phrase "with other tongues" simply refers to other languages. In fact, the word "other" is better translated "different" or "various," meaning they were speaking in different or various languages as the Spirit of God enabled them. Therefore, it's obvious that this passage is not referring to some secret way of communicating, often referred to as speaking in tongues by some charismatic groups that can only be understood by God and the entitled speaker. How do we know this to be true? First and foremost, the whole purpose for this miraculous ability from the Holy Spirit was to empower the disciples, listen to this, to be a public witness for Jesus Christ to the rest of the world and not for some private way to communicate with God. Also, the words "other" and "tongues" are both plural in verse 4, indicating multiple different languages that could be understood by every Jew that had come to Jerusalem from all over the known world. In fact, Luke references, we'll see this next week, he references 12 different areas inside and even beyond the Roman Empire that were in Jerusalem at this time. And this phrase, "other tongues," indicates that the disciples were speaking multiple different languages, not just one secret language known only to a select few. They were speaking multiple different languages that were known to all these people from all these different nations. And the other thing that sticks out as you study this passage is that people from all over, literally all over the Roman Empire and beyond, were amazed because they could hear the disciples speaking their native language, which indicates that the dialect that they were speaking was an intelligible language for the purpose of being an effective witness for Jesus Christ, Acts 1:8. And that, church family, is the main purpose, and it is the top priority of the Holy Spirit living in you. Don't miss what I'm saying to you right now in closing. That is the main purpose and the top priority of the Holy Spirit living in you, to glorify and testify to Jesus Christ, not you. The Holy Spirit always seeks to glorify Jesus Christ, not the individual believer. And that's why John the Baptist said in John 3, verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Put another way, he must become greater, but I must become less. That was the purpose. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus become greater and we become less. That everything we testify about and to in this life is thanking and because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If we have anything to boast about, the Bible says, let us boast about Jesus Christ. Because we have nothing on our own. We're lost, self-centered sinners without the grace and mercy and sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I've often told you about my grandfather, Milton Moore, and how he was a hero of mine. And he just lived for God in such an amazing way and had such a powerful influence on our entire family. And you know you're a good man when your son-in-law's literally praise the ground you walk on. And my dad and my Uncle Mike thought he was just the greatest thing in the world. But Andrea's grandfather, Stanley Jordan, is also one of my heroes. He pastored for a long time in Oklahoma. But he understood something, and I learned this in my 20s just watching him when I'd be in a room with him. He understood something most people don't understand. In fact, I would even venture to say most people never understand. He understood what it meant to point people to Christ and then get off the stage. One of the most humble guys I've ever met. Precious. He didn't speak a lot. But dude, when he did, he had my attention. Because he was different. He was this humble, gracious man of God. And I loved being around him. But he pointed people to Christ. And then he got off the stage. So I want to wrap this up with one more quote from Dr. Tony Evans. John the Baptist knew he was just the opening act, expected to point the crowd to Jesus and then get off the stage. Jesus was the main event. Jesus was the star attraction. John's job was to point to and to glorify the Messiah. And that's your job too. Point people to Jesus, and then get off the stage. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today And we just love you and thank you for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness that allows us to go on each and every day. Your mercies are new every day, the Bible says. And maybe you're here today or you're watching online today and you would like to believe this gospel message of how you can be saved from sin and death by trusting Jesus in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead on your behalf. And you believe the truth that you're a sinner and your sin separates you from God. And maybe today God has shown you your need to be saved. God himself, the Bible says, came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life, which made him the perfect payment for your sins and mine. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sins upon himself, and he died in your place, in my place, to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be set free. Once and for all, we could be set free from sin and death. And so maybe you would like to quit struggling through life, doing it your way, having to have it your way. And today you would just like to accept God's free gift of eternal life. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to repeat a prayer like this after me. And it's very important that you understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters when you pray this prayer is that you mean it in your heart. Because the Lord knows your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh, that you are the Son of God, and that you are the only Savior for this world. Today I want to place my trust in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. I confess to you that I'm a sinner in desperate need of your salvation. So today I'm asking for your mercy and your forgiveness. And Lord, I'm asking today for the power to turn from my sins and for your grace to submit to your authority. Forgive me for playing God and trying to do my own thing and run my own life. Forgive me for all the times I've rejected you. Forgive me for buying into Satan's lie that somehow I'm missing out if I follow you. Forgive me for making this life all about me. Teach me to glorify you through the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm ready for you to be the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. I'm ready to start living for you and proclaiming your message of salvation to everyone in my world. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins and make me a child of God. And please empower me to properly represent you and your kingdom agenda by the way I live my life and by the way I share my testimony. I pray all these things in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if you said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says you are saved. The Bible says now you are a child of God. The Bible says you have eternal life. The Bible says that you've been forgiven for all your sins, past, present, and future. And so Matt's going to lead us in our closing song here in a sec. I'll be at the front worshiping along with you. If you'd like for me to pray with you or for you, you just join me up here at the front. Matt, you lead us, please, sir, if you will.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you heard me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. My place laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. There's nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There's nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood, the blood that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood of glory to His name.
All right, Andrea, why don't you come on up here? Let me remind you of something real quick. Be sure and mark your calendars for August 2nd and 3rd. That's when we're having a marriage conference here. And a couple that are, Andrea and I's, some of our best friends are, they're going to fly down from Memphis, and I've shared this with you before, but when my son Jake and my son Ryan got married, while they were engaged, I told them, I said, look, I'll pay for the trip to Memphis. I'll pay for anything you want to eat, anywhere you want to go, but go see Larry and Sherry and let them do marriage counseling with you over the weekend. And Ryan and Jake both did that, and they've both come to me now twice without me ever asking. And they've said, Dad, that weekend with Larry and Sherry has made this first year of marriage a breeze. So Larry and Sherry are coming here, and they're going to, I've asked them, I told them, look, I want you to teach us the same 8 things you taught Jake and Ryan and Megan and Kendall. So they're coming here to teach us those things August 2nd and 3rd. So be sure and mark your calendar. We'll be doing it all day long probably in here on the 2nd and then Sunday morning on the 3rd. And so be sure and mark your calendar for that. And then I'm going to let you talk about whatever you want to talk about. And then I'll, if you leave anything out, I'll finish up. Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to give everybody an update on the dessert auction from last week. You all are amazing. I just can't tell you enough how amazing you are. We had 86 desserts. When I went through and counted every bid sheet, every dessert, 86 desserts. There were 46 students here that were trying to raise money for their camp. And you guys contributed and bought those desserts, and it was $5,200 going Amen. Toward their camp. So that Amen. Is amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Each one of those kids earned $120 against their $310 to go to camp. And so thank y'all so much for doing that. We do have, in reference to camp, a big parent meeting this Wednesday. We'll be in here 6:15. So, Courtney, we need to coordinate where y'all want to meet. I know you're in here somewhere, Courtney. There you are. Where the ladies want to meet for Bible study. But we'll have a big meeting in here and get our form signed and things like that that we need to have every year for camp. And then directly after, Kim will be next in the fellowship hall over here for VBS, and she's going to have her VBS information that I believe you just pick up, correct? Okay, you're going to get an info sheet. You're just going to go pick up your information, and then if you need any questions, she's available for that. And while you're back there in that little area, there's a very beautiful lady in there, and it is my mom. And she is here today. She got to see Milo for the first time yesterday, and so you can say hello to her. She, after 43 years, retired from playing the piano in our home church and could actually come to church with us. So I'm excited to have her here. So y'all say hello to her as well. Okay. That's all I have.
That's all you have?
That's all I have.
That's why, isn't she cute? That's my wife, by the way. Precious young lady. So mark your calendars for the marriage conference. And then I think the only other thing that she didn't mention, there's a deal in here called the Daughter's Luncheon. It has something to do with you being a daughter, so be sure and read that. I mean, it sounds like a pretty cool deal. I mean, you know, hey, if you're into dressing white and having salad, then I'm sure you'll love it. But Bev White, Kim Vinson, and Judy Hawkins are putting that on. It really does sound like a cool deal, so you can see one of them if you have questions about that. And I think that's all I have. Be sure and read through here if you are doing children's camp or what do they call that? Preteen camp or youth camp. Be sure and read through this, and you'll get all the information you want on that. All right, I love you guys. Thanks for being here and worshiping the Lord with us today. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we just thank you for your word, for your truth. And I thank you for how it straightens me out every morning when I have time in your word and just time in prayer with you. And I thank you, and I praise you for that. And Lord, I just thank you for a church that loves you. It's just amazing to sit on the front row and listen to them worship you. And I thank you and praise you for that. And I pray that you would bless each one of them in a very special way as only you can this week. In Jesus' name, amen.